Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
You come home. You ever been on vacation without your kids? I highly recommend that. You go home and you grab their little faces like, baby, I've missed you so bad. And then they wake up. Oh, and then I get home, I got to unpack all my stuff. As I'm unpacking my stuff, now I'm not this way anymore. Since we moved, I wasn't able to, okay, we moved like 4 years ago. But since then, I haven't put it back on. But for the longest time, I have this stuff in my closet called shelf talk, which are labels like short sleeve shirts go here and long sleeve shirts go there. And, you know, my nice jeans go here and my black and white jeans go here. Does anybody feel me? Are most of y'all just really happy you're not married to me? But I would label things so people knew where things went. And a lot of us, we do label our things in our life. We label our friends. That's my party friend. If I'm going partying, this is who's coming with me. I have my smart friend that I call whenever I have a problem. We have our friend that will help us move. Right? You got that number. Come on, somebody better be honest in the house of God. We cannot afford the lightning, friends. How about you've got that annoying friend that you like, but you don't invite them to the party with the other people because you know they drive everybody else crazy? Yeah? So we label our friends. And then we've been given labels ourselves, but unfortunately, the labels that stick, those are the ones that we don't particularly like. And I bet you remember some of them. I want you to tell me some of these labels. What are some of the names that you were called like in junior high or elementary school or high school? I know they've come to your mind in the first 5 seconds, and I know they weren't great because those are the ones that come back first. Tell me real loud, what's one of those? Nerd. What's another one? Eeny, meeny? Skinny, mini. Yeah, see, all you African-American girls do not like being little. If somebody calls me that, I'm going to kiss them on the lips. For real, though. But no, I will wear that. I will wear that label. So give me another one. Ugly. What's another one? White girl. I'm going to leave that one alone. Give me one more. Fat. How about anybody called Bucktooth Beaver? How about Dum Dum? Carpenter's Dream? Four Eyes? Brace Face? Mama's Boy? Dumb Jock? Wannabe? Loser? How about the Poor Kid? I was the Poor Kid. Our brand new car was a station wagon that had been sideswiped down on one side. And so, you know, there's the rotation to come pick your kids up from school. I'm like, no, mom, you got to go in the wrong way so they see the good side of the car. Then there's the other labels that happen when you get older from your spouse, your boss, your coach, your friends, those people who said they were your best friend. Until that day, all this stuff comes out and you're like, where did that even come from? And then there's genetic labels that happen. Well, my grandpa had a heart attack. My dad had a heart attack. So, you know, heart attacks, that's just what runs in our family. I need to go to the doctor and check my heart because I need to look for that heart attack coming. We allowed genetics to label us. Well, your mama might have had it. Your mama might have fell out of the ugly tree and hit every branch, but it doesn't mean that you did, baby. You know, and I've got something else to say about that. You're not any one of these things or any one of these labels that have played back in your head so many times. You aren't who they say that you are. You are who God says that you are. Amen? Amen. Because labels come with inherent problems. Labels cause us to think certain ways. How many of you know Gerber baby food, right? They got the cute little white baby on the front. You know what I'm talking about? So Gerber decided to expand their line into Africa, go into new territory. What they didn't realize is that the way they labeled things in Africa, because many people in Africa can't read, they take what is in the jar and they take a picture of it and they put a picture of what's in the jar and they put it on the label. So if you're in Africa and you're eating Gerber baby food, what do you think you're eating? You think you're eating a little white baby. How many of you can just imagine their sales were not very good? Till they figured out the problem because of the label. But how many of you know that they did not just start sacrificing little white babies and grounding them up and making them into baby food? That did not happen. Why? If you're a note taker, write this down. Because the labels do not determine the contents. Labels. Go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise. It's okay. Labels do not determine the contents. But the problem is labels determine our expectation. Labels don't determine the contents, but labels determine our expectation. Labels get us to expect something even from ourselves. There's a man, he went to a psychiatrist. He said, "Sir, I really need to see you. I believe that I'm a dog." The psychiatrist said, "Well, how long has this been happening?" Guy said, "Since I was a puppy." Psychiatrist says, "Well, come on, sir, come sit on the couch and we'll talk about it." Guy says, "I'm not allowed on the couch." We have a tendency to believe the labels. Here's the problem with letting labels change our expectation. If we listen to the labels that people give us, we will change the expectation on our own life, and therefore we change the trajectory of our life. God says, "You're smart, you're well able, you'll possess the land, you're blessed, you're highly favored, you're a city on a hill," and that's the direction you point. And the world will tell you, "You're dumb, nobody likes you, you're too old, you're too young, you're not tall enough, you're not short enough, and you just don't fit just right, your IQ's too low, you didn't go to school anyway." And all of a sudden we'll expect these things of ourselves. The problem with that is sentences come out of our mouth, "Well, they already think I'm a loser. I don't want to go to work today anyway, so I'm just going to call in. I'll probably get fired. I don't care. I'm a loser. Well, I'm a drug addict anyway. Nobody's going to expect me to stay home on Friday night, so I might as well go get my party on. Well, my spouse thinks I'm cheating anyway. If I'm going to get blamed for it, I might as well." You see the power of the label. The power of the label sets an expectation. And then we as people, we start trying to go towards that expectation. But I'm here to tell you today, the label, no matter what it says, this one says skinny mini. No, I receive that in Jesus' name. Fat, the label does not determine the contents. Well, you might be saying, "Well, no, but that's a fact, baby. I mean, I'm supposed to weigh 150 and I weigh 175. No. Your fact is different than your truth. You see, the fact may be real according to the world in this present time, but the truth comes to you from the Word of God. And just because you're not what you're going to be in this particular moment, as long as we don't let the enemy set our trajectory and we put our trajectory to where God has it and we walk this thing out, we walk to that thing that God has called us to be, one set step at a time. As long as we don't stick with that expectation. Labels, they don't determine the contents. They just don't. This morning I got up, had coffee. I'm not grown up enough to drink just black coffee. I mean, I need like sugar and I need creamer and I need milk and honey and cinnamon and nutmeg and where's a little anybody fussy like me? I'm like, "Oh, I want all this stuff." And so I pulled the milk out of the refrigerator. Now, Austin, who lives with us in our condo in Florida, he loves dill pickles. So there's also dill pickles. If the milk's low and there's lots of pickles with pickle juice, what I can't do is just take the label off the milk, take the label off the pickles, change them, be like, "Well, now the milk is full." Pull the pickle juice with the milk label out of the refrigerator and pour that on my Fruity Pebbles and have a tasty, delicious breakfast. The label does not determine the contents. You know, the problem with that is the label doesn't determine what's inside, but we start believing it. We start expecting it. You know, a happy anticipation of a coming good, an expectation. These are definitions of the word hope. We start hoping in a label that we don't even like, and then we start releasing our faith words. You don't got that yet. You don't got that yet. We start releasing our faith words. Psalm 6:2, it says we are trapped by the words of our mouth. We are ensnared by the words of our mouth. Why? Because the words of our mouth have power. God has given us a creative force. We put the force of our faith behind a word that does not match the future that God has on our life. He said, I didn't give you that word. That word's from the pit of hell to hold you back. And yet you're putting your faith in this. And here's the real problem. You can't curse a child of God and live in the blessing. And you're like, well, now I know I can't curse other. No, baby. I'm talking about you. You can't curse you and be in agreement with God at the same time. Like, I don't know why I'm just not getting blessed. I don't know why the blessing ain't working for me. I even tried tithing one time. Did you know you can curse your seed? What happened is I even tried tithing. You tithe, you get out your phone, you do the text to give, you write your check, whatever. You walk outside, you get in the car, and you go, I don't even know why I did that. I can't afford it. I shouldn't have done that. And God's in heaven going, no, don't label your seed you shouldn't have done it. You talk to your seed, and you say, seed, you get in that ground, and you produce a harvest for me. I got a promise on my life of provision and prosperity, and I receive it in the name of Jesus. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:9. God, you put it in there for me. But some of these labels are so thick. See, you African-American girls got to help me. You don't like fat. You don't like skinny, but thick. Somebody's got to help me figure this out. And don't ask me where I land because I will lie to you. But the labels, they get so thick. You see, this is kind of like a ball. This is fake, but this is kind of like one of the balls we have in children's ministry. When the kids go in there, they get a tag with their name on it, and a parent gets the matching tag, and if you come in to pick up your kid, the tags have to match. You cannot go in there and trade up. Get the kid you came with. But so they collect the labels, and they've made a big ball, and the ball in there is about this thick. And what happens is we start collecting these labels on our life in elementary school. Even maybe before that, when we're a preschooler, and the things that mom said, dad said, coach said, obviously I need a coach because I can't play ball. And things that everybody said, they start layering up over the years and they start getting so thick and so mislabeled. We're not even sure. We're not sure anymore how we're supposed to be labeled. And here's the problem. When you're expecting something, even if you get something else that you like, I want to pause and say that again. If you're expecting something, even if you get something else that you like, you won't like it. So you know, when I go party on a Friday night with my girlfriends and my husband is not around, you guys might need to shut the cameras off because he can't find out about this. You see, we don't drink soda in our family. So on Friday night when my husband ain't with me, I get me a Diet Coke, baby. Come on. I'm like, put it in a dirty glass. Spicy. So I've done this so many times. I order my Diet Coke at the restaurant. I go to take a drink and it's like, you ever actually spit something out at a restaurant? I have done this. It has also come out my nose, just being honest. I'm like, what is this? Or how about, you've ever done this? This is terrible, taste it. Why do we want people to taste terrible things? I'm like, this is horrible. What, did they give me dishwater? Oh, wait a minute. This is sweet tea. I like sweet tea. I like Diet Coke and I like sweet tea. But get this, because I was expecting Diet Coke and not expecting sweet tea, suddenly I wanted to spit it out of my mouth because I didn't know what it was I was getting. We have to manage the expectation of the label and not allow it to change the trajectory of our life. Amen. We got to get some verbal goo-gong going on. This thing right here, this is a verbal label maker. Whenever you're talking, boom, 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 you're making labels everywhere you go. Labels going everywhere. And I will be honest with you, I relabel the people in my life with new names completely. I think I get it from my dad because God does it. God does it too. But like Morgan married Austin. Well, we had Pastor Morgan and we had Morgan Ashton's friend, so I called her MJ. Well, MJ turned into Emma JB. Emma JB was too long, so then I call her Emma. If I'm in the mall, I'll be like, Emma, and Morgan will turn around and be like, yeah. Austin is Bubs. Austin is Ashton's brother. She called him Bubba. I call him Bubs. And Ashton's name is Ashton Nicole. I can't call her first name because that's her first name. Her middle name is my name, and that would be confusing, so I call her Coco. So if I am in public and I call my kids, I say, Emma, Coco, Bubs, and my three kids turn around. But your daddy, your heavenly father, he's great at changing names. You see, in Genesis 17, verse 5, Abram was like 70, in his 70s. How many of you do not know a single 75-year-old pregnant person? Abram's in his 70s, never been able to have kids. And yet God says to him in Genesis 17:5, he said, we need to change the label that everyone is calling you. You know, Abram even meant exalted father. And here's what I want to challenge you with today. People might be calling, you might think, well, I'm strong enough. I'm brave enough. I'm financially sound enough. I'm healthy enough. I'm happy enough. And God's like, what's with the enough part of the label? Abram was exalted father, but it wasn't raising his faith enough to get the job done. And he tells him in Genesis 17:5, if we'll put that up for everybody, it says, I'm not calling you Abram anymore. It says, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you father of many nations. You see, the definition of the word Abraham, Abraham literally translates means father of many nations. So you're worried about being just enough. And God said, when was I just enough? I'm a more than enough kind of God. He changed Jacob's name. Jacob means schemer, trickster, conniver, supplanter, heel grabber. You see, when he was being born, he was a twin. And the other one was coming out first, Esau. So he grabbed Esau's heel. Now, I am still betwixt in myself trying to figure out, was he grabbing his heel trying to get out first? Or was he grabbing his heel going, boy, you do the work, whoa, party, and just like riding along? There's not an answer for that in the Bible, but I will ask God. So he comes out, and because he's heel grabber, supplanter, trickster, schemer, connifer. So every time they're calling the kids for dinner, hey, trickster, come to dinner, conniver, clean your room. Come here, schemer. Come on, get up in mama's lap. His whole life, he's called these very things that he begins to live up to. Why? The label doesn't determine the contents, but the label determines the expectation, and that's the direction we head. It determines the trajectory of our life. So they're calling him that, and so what happens is his brother is big, burly, manly man. Rah, 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 rah. He goes out hunting and gets the food. Jacob's all like Metro. He's like, I stay at home, I cook, I decorate, I'm in the village, I wear my suit, I don't like to get my hands dirty, I hire a lawn man. So he's there, he's cooking the food. Esau comes and brings the meat, and he's literally almost dying because of starvation and hunger. And he says to his little brother, he says, hey, Jacob, I really, really need a bowl of stew. Give me some stew. Jacob, schemer. Schemer says, yeah, man, I'll give you a bowl of stew. But you being the firstborn, you have two things, a birthright and a blessing. It's going to cost you your birthright. Schemer, conniver, trickster. So what he says is, he's like, I'm going to die anyway. If you don't give me the food, give me the food. You can have the birthright. And he gets the birthright that's not his. So then dad, who's Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Isaac's about to die. He tells Esau, you're my firstborn son. Go out and get venison, bring it, make a stew for me, and I will give you the blessing and I will die. So Esau heads out. Well, mama overheard this and she told Jacob. Jacob's been hanging out in the village with mama and mama says, what are we going to do? And so they cook up this plan to go get a couple of goats and make a venison stew out of the goats and feed it to dad because he's blind and he's sick now. And he's like, but mom, I'm all smooth skinned and Esau's hairy like a goat and I don't have that kind of hair on my body. She said, we'll take the hair of the goat and we will put it on your arms and we will take the hair of the goat and we will put it on your neck. Which caused me to think, how did Esau ever get married? I said, wow, bro needs a razor. Clippers, friend, clippers. But so he puts the stuff on, he goes to dad, pretends to be Esau. And he gets the blessing. Esau comes back from hunting, gets it all made. He comes into his dad and said, Dad, I have your venison stew. Isaac says, wait a minute. I already gave the blessing to you. He said, no, you didn't give the blessing to me. He's like, oh no, your brothers tricked me. I gave him the blessing. Esau said, this can't happen. Just bless me too. And Isaac says, no, once the blessing is gone, the blessing has been given. He got the blessing and he got the birthright. Well, Esau was literally going to go kill his brother. Not like, I'm going to kill you like you do to your little nuisance brother. No, he's like, got the knife. I'm a hunter. I'm going to kill you. And Jacob leaves for a couple of decades. Now, before Jacob comes back, he realizes, hey, I probably ought to send some gifts before I get there. So he sends camels and goats. And I just want to tell y'all, when you're in a fight, gifts pave the way. Husbands, I'm here to tell you, when I am mad at David, I'm like, you are a skank of a man. These shoes are so cute. I'll just try them on real quick. Do I look good in these? I'm just telling you, gifts make a way for forgiveness. And he sends the gifts ahead. He hides his family for protection, and he's going to go the next day. The sun goes down, and a man arrives, and he starts fighting with this man all night long. As they've been in hours of fighting, he realizes, I'm not fighting a man. I'm fighting an angel of the Lord. And as the sun begins to come up, the angel of the Lord tells him, I have to go. But Trickster says, uh-uh, buddy, and grabs him. And he's like, you notice how I did that? I twisted the shirt and pulled it down. That is the sign of a girl who rides on the back of a motorcycle. If I'm coming off, baby, you're coming with me. Grabs him and he says, you're not leaving just yet until you bless me. You see, the trickster, the schemer and conniver, the very things that the world had labeled him with, God said, the world might have labeled you with that thing, but I'm going to go ahead and use the very thing that the world has labeled you with for my purpose, for my plan, and for my pursuits. And the angel says, okay, I change your name, trickster, conniver, and schemer, to Israel, to contender with God, for you have contended with God and not let go. And from that moment, they didn't call him the other name anymore. They called him Israel, like the nation. Israel, like the father of the 12 tribes. Israel, like the name we still say today when we talk about a country. You see, you're upset about the fact that they're calling you trickster, but God's saying, if you will just believe in me and my labels and my ability and let those people go, I'm calling you nation. I'm calling you great name. I'm calling you blessed mightily. I'm calling you overcomer. I'm calling you the blessing going somewhere to manifest. He's got a plan for your life. Who are you listening to anyway? Uncle Bob? Coach George, who died 10 years ago? Mama? If mama says something or if God says something, why are you believing mama over God? Why? Romans 8:31, for if God be for us, who and what can be against us? If God has labeled me redeemed, if God has labeled me forgiven, if God has labeled me peace, if God has labeled me joy, if God has labeled me set free, if God has labeled me victory, if God has labeled me blessing, if God has labeled me city on a hill, if God has labeled me salt and light, if God has labeled me overcomer, if God has labeled me friend of God, if God has labeled me a son and daughter of the Most High King, if God has labeled me a royal priesthood, if God has labeled me a peculiar people, if God has labeled me a king and a priest, why would I listen to my mama? Somebody better give God a good amen. We can't do God like that. We can't listen to them and ignore him. We can't curse what God has blessed. We got to get in line with him. What did he say about us? He said, I tell you what I said about you. I'm strong enough to change whatever name the world gave you. That's who I am. I'm the mighty king. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication, not one word, come out of your mouth. Nothing. You can't say nothing bad. Matthew 15:11 says, what goes into a mouth of a person doesn't defile them. It's what comes out of their mouth that defiles them. And then people throw us these labels. When they throw these labels at us, we gotta know who we are. And we gotta know who we are in Christ Jesus, because that changes everything. Amen? It changes everything. You see, death and life, they're in the power of the tongue. Death and life, the way that we go. People put stuff on us. If you want to know where you're going to be in 5 years, I can tell you in 5 minutes. All I have to do is listen to you talk. Because the words that you say today, you don't realize you're prophesying your future. So, you know, this is heavy stuff. So I'm going to ask you a question. What are you saying today? What are you saying? I can't ever get married. I can't ever find a man. Well, I'll tell you where you're going to be in 5 years. Still looking. I never have enough money. I can tell you where you're going to be in 5 years. Broke. Well, man, I just can't. I can never get together a down payment for a house. I can tell you where you're going to be in 5 years in an apartment. What are you saying right now? Because you are paving the way to your future. You're paving the way. You see, because there's two kinds of labels. There's the labels that the world gives us and the labels that God gives us. And we can let the labels of our present stick us to where we are today. Or we can take those off and let the labels of God take us to where He has called us to be. Amen? God has called you to greatness. He's not only called you to greatness, He is in heaven saying, I need you so bad. You don't understand. I didn't waste my time. God does not have the time on His hands to put together somebody just because He is bored. Each person He created and He brought of the dust, and He thought of your name, and He thought of your history, and He thought of your future, and He thought of the legacy and the children and the generations that will come out of you. When He put all that together, it was for an intended purpose. God says, you're fearfully and you are wonderfully made. Because He had to put a lot of thought into that. He did not waste His time. I hate what people put on my Facebook, stuff like this, because I don't know if they're just trying to get attention or if they're just being, because there's some folks that they just always say, I'm just a waste of God's time. I'm just, I have to tell them sometimes, quit saying that. Because where you're going to end up is, guess what? A waste of God's time. No, you need to say, my past has been a problem. But my past does not define me. My past has simply prepared me for the future that God has for me. That might not have gone the way that I wanted it to go, but that's not where I'm going to stay. Don't let your label stick you in your present. Let God's label take you to your future. Let it draw you out. Let Him part the Red Sea. Let Him bring manna from heaven. But we're too busy cursing. Too busy cursing what God has blessed. So before I go, I just want to tell you, if you don't know what God says about you, there's three things you got to do. Number one, you got to get into growth track. That's going to be harder if you're watching on TV. We're getting an online growth track, so you'll be able to get into it. But you got to go to growth track. It's 30 minutes after church. We feed you and we give you presents while you're there. When you go to growth track, it costs us money. I should not be promoting this program. But I promote it because I know it's good for you. There's certain hills that you would die on for your children. And like brushing your teeth is something you're going to have to do because you're going to lose your teeth if you don't do it. That one I'm going to stand on. I'm going to let some of these other ones go. This is the one. I got to stand on this because it will connect you. It will get you deeper. It will give you tools. It will arm you with weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And if I, as a leader, send you out into life without any weapons to defend yourself, that makes me a bad leader. Baby, you need to get you some weapons. Yes. And this next one, it wasn't a hill that I was willing to die on until people grab me outside of service every single time. And they grab me and they shake me when they talk to me, which I don't understand because this can't look comfortable to anybody. But they're like, why didn't you tell me how much an eye connect was going to change my life? And the first or second, third, fourth, fifth time I heard that, I kind of let it go. Once I heard it about 250 times, I realized I have got to tell people that an iConnect small group can change your life. You surround yourself with the right people. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You don't get those people who speak to your weakness and tell you what you're not and label you like the world. You get around people who tell you who God says you are. They see your positives and they help to lift you up. And the third and final thing is you need to get yourself a devotional. Hi, God. Shameless plug. It's cool, though. I don't mind giving a shameless plug because I do not get any money from the High God book. I gave the High God book to the church. It doesn't even go through me. The money goes around me because we've got churches to plant, friends. And that is my seed. But there are lots of good devotionals. Oswald Chambers, Beth Moore, Sheila Walls, Priscilla Shire. All kinds of people have written a devotional. But here's why you got to do it. Because if you don't intentionally tell yourself who you are in Christ Jesus, the devil will intentionally tell you who you are according to him. So what you'll do is you leave the house on Monday morning and go, oh, dear Lord, it's Monday. I just need to make it through the day. If I don't even got to make it through the week, if I can just make it through the day. And he said, that's not the way I created you. I created you to walk out going, today is the day that the Lord has made. He has made today on purpose for me. I'm going to get through it. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it. I'm going to live it up. I'm going to milk it for all it's worth. And I'm going to take everything out of it that I can. That is how God wants you to live. Amen. So before we go, if you want to stand up with me, I would like to pray for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just come to you with my hands raised in the international sign of surrender. And God, we invite you in this place to speak to people. Because Father God, I know this by a spirit of wisdom and grace, that there are labels on people's lives that have been affecting them so deeply. And you don't think that the label can come off. You think that the label is permanently attached. But the Spirit of the Lord tells you that label is not sewn into the fabric of your life. It's just stuck onto your life. And God says, I can't remove the label because you've held on to it. God says, you have to release the label so that I can rename you. If I call you Abraham, you can't call yourself Abram. If I call you blessed, you can't call yourself broke. If I call you healed, you can't call yourself sick. He says, release the label, release it, release it, release it, release it. He says, until you release that label, you're going to be stuck with that thing. But he says, it's not me, it's you. He says, release it. Father God, right now we release those labels in the name of Jesus. And when we go in error to you and when we say those things on accident, we'll just immediately apologize. I'm sorry, God, I shouldn't have said that about myself. I'm a blessed child of God. I'm a child of the Most High King. I'm a blessing going somewhere to manifest. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I'm over and above. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm a blessing going somewhere to manifest. God, I'm the healed of the Lord. Healing is the children's bread and I'm a child of God. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You have provision coming my way. God, I will just follow you and I will allow you to label us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you give God a good hand of praise?
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.